And as 2020 comes to a close, we are doing a whole bunch of these year in review conversations. This week, we've done the year in social media and the year in the pandemic. So today, let's talk music. And we've got two local music legends to join us, Melissa Farrick, who is a musician and a professor at Northeastern University, and Prince Charles Alexander, an acclaimed recording and mixing engineer who's worked with Mary J. Blige, Destiny's Child, Aretha Franklin, and others. He was a performing artist himself in the 80s and now teaches at Berklee College of Music. Melissa, PC, welcome to both of you.
Thanks. Great to be here.
Hi, Tiziana. How are you? Great to be here.
It's great to have you both back. And listeners, if you've got a song of 2020, call us. 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. So, Melissa, PC, I'm going to start with the two of you with the same question that I've asked in the other years in review we've done so far. PC, you first. If there was a headline in music from 2020, what do you think it would be?
Well, other than COVID, for me, it would have to be WAP. WAP, which stands for Wet Donkey Kitty Cat.
And something
like that. And it was really shocking to me at first because I have 9-year-old daughter and I was like, oh my God, those lyrics are horrendous. And then I went to female empowerment. Well, a woman should be able to talk about her body. And then I went, you know, so I was flinging back and forth, and it really was a wake up moment for me as a man. You know, where is the agency in being able to talk about our body parts? So it's a challenging song. You know, it's extremely successful at the top of the charts, brings the controversy similar to Strange Fruit brought controversy in the 20s, which kind of highlighted racism. And very often those things that really kind of get under our skin have more import than just what it might seem like on the surface.
And for those who don't know, that's Megan Thee Stallion and Cardi B, and it's about women's sexuality and women being satisfied. Melissa, what about you? What's your headline for 2020?
My headline is going to be streaming, you know, live music. I think if we're not talking about songs, I mean, songs wise, I go with Childish Gambino and Phoebe Bridgers this year. But but as far as like a headline, I think it's how we all created community with the online shows and have come together to try to save these clubs that are just really hurting through COVID.
So we're going to get into all of that. I do want to start with some songs. I think this is such a fun opportunity to bring music to our listeners. PC, you already spoke about WAP, so I want to ask you about another one of your big song picks from this year, which is Blinding Lights by The Weeknd. It was Billboard's number one Hot 100 song of the year. Let's listen to a little bit of that. So, PC, I found this one to be an earworm. Why is this the song? And in this year, in a pandemic year, why did this song grab people?
Okay, there's a few things going on here. First of all, around March 10th is when I think I was shut down myself. I didn't go back to school after March 10th. There was a song at number one called The Box. And it's really funny because I feel like my whole life kind of collapsed into a little box. and simultaneously, I've got these lights that I needed on me in order to illuminate myself in my Zoom meetings. And then I look at, you know, around April 4th, and Blinding Lights is the number one record. So this idea... it's really funny how these things get into, like you say, our earworm, but it's also a brainworm, that these blinding lights, the box, are coming into being and really becoming successful at this time. Now, going to the music itself, you've got some classic 80s elements going on in here. You've got Take On Me's drum beat from the group A-ha in the 80s, and that kind of sets the song off. You've got all these synthesizer figures going on in the record that remind you of the 80s, and in many ways, I feel like this is connected to the huge success that Bruno Mars had recently with his take on throwback music. And Blinding Lights really signals, you know, for this era of maybe comfort. Let me go back to a time that wasn't COVID. And maybe that comfort zone might have been the 80s for a lot of people.
So I also want to then talk about, and I want to put a pin in this idea of comfort, because I think we're going to come back to it a number of times, this did seem to be a year when we saw comfort in both food and music. But Melissa, you did mention Childish Gambino, who's also known as Donald Glover. We've got a piece of his song here. And I did not know this song. And I'm looking at the title and realizing I'm not sure I know how to say the title right, because I didn't know the song. This is either 4748 or 47.48. How do I say the title of this song?
It could be 47.48. I just call it 4748, but I don't know.
All right. Let's listen to a little bit.
I don't know what
it.
The kids call it.
I don't either. All right. So, Melissa, when I said headline, you gave the streaming thing, but you said if music, it would be Childish Gambino. So talk about that.
Yeah, first of all, I just didn't stop hearing about Childish Gambino from my students at Northeastern. And then this album came out on March 15th, right when COVID-19, stopped the United States in our tracks. And this song particularly, I think, to Prince Charles's point, it has this throwback feel, right? It has this like David Bowie, Sly and the Family Stone. I mean, that bass line, that's the sound of that bass. It's just, I mean, I feel like I haven't heard that sound since Sly or since maybe early Prince. And I think that there's this wonderful collision of the past and the present. And certainly Donald Glover's lyrical content is just epic. I mean, he's just crushing it. And the end of the song, which I know we didn't get to, but because we don't have time, but it's this amazing moment where Glover had recorded him speaking to his son, Legend, about love. And his son says, when he asks him, who do you love? And he's listing these people. And then he goes, I love myself. And he goes, Daddy, do you love yourself? And it's just like, I mean, I even choke up right now just because it's just, and then, mommy, does mommy love herself? Yes, mommy loves herself. So it's just this beautiful moment. And it's really long too. I love that the song is over 6 minutes long. So I'm kind of a sucker for that.
So PC, supposedly that is Childish Gambino's last record. Do you think that will be the case? And do we lose something in the music world if that's the case?
That's insane. I can't believe that. First of all, the two biggest stars we have in America are both Canadian. We've got Drake and we've got The Weeknd. So we need you, Childish Gambino. Don't go away.
The Canadians,
so we at least are
going to
protest that.
I know the Canadians are they've just taken over. They're dominating.
They're the best songwriters, man.
All right, so actually we have a little bit of Drake here, and we were going to get to it later on, and so I admit I'm scrambling through my notes to find the name, which one we have. It's one of our producer Zoe Mitchell's favorite Drake songs. It's called
Laugh
Now, Now.
Cry
yeah.
Later.
Yeah,
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 yeah.
Yeah. Let's hear a little bit of that.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Yeah. Sometimes we laugh, sometimes we cry, but I guess you know now. Baby, I took a half and she took the whole thing. Slow down, baby.
So, PC, you have some real thoughts on the influence of Drake.
Well, I've actually been looking at the data, just who has been at the top of the charts. And Drake has dominated the 10s and he's beginning again into the 20s. This has been the most popular. He is the Beatles. He is our Beatles. Now, whether you like him or can't stand him, for me, as somebody that needs to know the techniques and the concepts and where we're going with songwriting, where we're going with production, I have to keep an eye on who is at the top of the charts. And that has definitely been for about 10 years now, that's been Drake. There are some other people that are really, really good songwriters, like Post Malone is a really great songwriter. I think the work of Harry Styles was phenomenal this year. Jason Derulo's got some really great vocal performances and songwriting. I'm trying to think of, I think Don't Start Now, Dua Lipa, that was really a great production this year.
Yeah, good,
but Drake is kind of the trendsetter, and he's doing things creatively and goes wherever he wants to go. And that's tricky for artists because many people want to come to you for, once again, their comfort zone. And when you try something new, most artists struggle with something new, and Drake does it effortlessly.
All right, I'm going to go to the phones here. We've got Andrew on the line from Somerville. Andrew, go ahead.
Yeah, one song I've been listening to a lot is A Touch of Grey by the Grateful Dead. There's a line in there, like at the beginning, it's I Will Survive. And then towards the end of the song, it changes to We Will Survive. And that's been kind of helping me a lot. You know?
Thanks for that, Andrew. And of course, when I first heard I Will Survive, it made me think of another survival song by Donna Summer. But Melissa, are we going back to our comfort songs from younger years as well during this uncertain time?
I don't know, but that's a really good question. I think that one of the things that PC just talked about is so interesting, though, because the idea of artists being able to, you know, take these chances and go outside the lines a bit or explore and show us their more intrinsic, you know, the place where they're coming from. It's interesting because I wonder if in COVID-19, in shutdown, it hasn't allowed artists to be more brave in some ways. And for the receivers, the listeners, maybe we're more able to make choices out of a deeply emotional place rather than, you know, driving in the car and picking up the latest pop song. Or I don't know, I had just thought of that while we're on the air here, but yeah.
I also have to tell you, the blowback I am going to take for saying Donna Summer and not Gloria Gaynor.
I was going to say something, but I'm like, I'm not going to blow you up on the spot.
I appreciate
I'm sure
that.
It's not the first
but I deserved
time.
It.
Right.
I deserved
I make
it for
mistakes.
That. Melissa,
I make those mistakes all the time, too.
Thank you. Melissa, I'm going to stay with you for a minute longer because I do want to spend these last couple of minutes talking about online and streaming. And I'll start with you because it was your headline. How are you reflecting about that?
Well, we just have a whole new way of being able to play live, and people have gotten used to it. So for someone like me that doesn't want to tour anymore, this is awesome. I'm able to play to thousands of people from all over the world. And before, just people weren't as willing to do that. They weren't as willing to jump online and watch you play. But now it's a new norm, and I'm able to also take the money, the proceeds, any tips. There's just that, you know, we have Venmo, we have ways for people to give money now, and being able to contribute back to the clubs. And I've been sending a lot of money to the Tegan and Sarah Foundation and to Black Lives Matter. And, you know, we're able to kind of, I don't know, I feel like there's been just so much giving and so much trying to build community, even though we are isolated. And I think that, I hope that that continues as we come out of this.
That's encouraging. It's heartening. And PC, I also want to talk about one other way that online streaming of music and virtual performances built a lot of community, and that's the Versus Battles, a webcast series of virtual DJ battles. You know, that there were a number of just giants who engaged in these Versus Battles. I want to hear part of one between Jill Scott and Erica Badu. And this one was less of a battle, a little more kind of hype, both women switching off who was DJing. Audience of 700,000 people. So cool. Let's hear.
Yeah.
Wow. Maybe you don't recognize what you got between your eyes. So I'm gonna set you correct so you can get what you should get. Yeah.
I could keep listening to that, but yeah, we do have great. A clock. We have to pay attention to talk about these battles because they were, as the word should be, epic.
So full disclosure, when I first heard that Swizz was going to battle Timbaland, I was like, oh, why do we always have to fight each other? Why can't we come together and love each other? So then I got into it on, you know, Facebook and Twitter with a whole bunch of people. They're like, but that's how we do it these days. And I'm like, yeah, well, that's how we've always been doing it in the rap world. And, you know, so I kind of left that alone. And then when Erica and Jill finally did, I think it was the 10th one. So you had the Swizz Beatz, Boy Wonder, The Dream, Neo, French Montana, Scott Storch, Ryan Tedder, T-Pain, RZA, Teddy Riley, and Babyface. That was pretty good. You know, it's kind of a love fest, really. These things are called verses, and they're kind of portrayed as battles. But I like them when they're love fest. And you could see the love fest with Teddy Riley and Babyface. And right after that was Erykah Badu and Jill Scott. And in the vein of it being the love fest, this one was the best one. You know, the music was great. Their appreciation for each other was great. And I think we culminated with a couple of legends, Patti LaBelle and Gladys Knight, you know, did a Love Fest also. So my only problem with it is they need to call it Love Fest instead of Verses. But I love the fact that we're able to go back into people's catalogs and bring that music forward. And once again, it ties into what Melissa was saying about COVID and what you were saying about our comfort zones. I think people are trying to get to something that really works for them in these times that are so unknown. The next day is an unknown. The next week, the next month is an unknown. So we're trying to grab onto things that are known to us.
All right. Well, Melissa, we are just about out of time. A shout out to a live music venue that you either has closed or that you're hoping to see stay open, just very briefly.
Yeah, I'd say the Parlor Room in Northampton and of course, Passim right here in Harvard Square.
All right, that's great. And that is Melissa Farrick, musician and a professor at Northeastern University, and Prince Charles Alexander, who is an acclaimed recording and mixing engineer and now teaches at the Berklee College of Music. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you, Tisha.
Thank you, Tiziana.